The question today is, what are the husband and wife's obligation to each other? This is part number 4. We've said that the obligation to each other is to be a mutual obligation, to love each other. In other words, Christ made the model of that for the church. And of course, the husband has the greater responsibility in that. But yet also the wife needs to respond accordingly. As we talked about sacrifice without complaint, that's how Christ loved the church. That's how a husband should love his wife. And forgiveness without reminder, giving without getting, selflessness without resentment. And then we also dealt with the fact in this series that on this question, to love each other. Not only to love each other's mutual obligation, but to trust each other. Now, there's a moral obligation that we have to each other. Husbands and wife have to each other. That's to be honest to each other and to be faithful. If you love one another, you'll be honest. If you trust one another, you'll be faithful to each other. So, and then husbands also has a moral obligation to teach his wife God's life's principle. Now, the problem is most men don't feel adequate because they never took time to equip themselves. That's why the Bible said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to teach them how to solve problems with the word of God. Every wife needs spiritual leadership. The initiative should come from her husband. The example should come from the husband. And spiritual decision-making should arise with the husband. Now, they talk about it, but it should arise with the husbands. And then we said wives have a moral obligation to their husband to provide their need. Her obligation, though, is really related to the well-being of her husband because that's why she was created for the man. The Bible said in Genesis 2:18, it's not good man be alone, and I'll make a helpmeet for him. And a wife's most noble achievement or activity will be those activities revolving around her husband if she's married. And so, therefore, we started dealing with the fact is the response, the moral obligation is that she has that responsibility to fulfill the needs of her husband. The animals couldn't do it. And we said the physical needs need to be met. And first of all, we dealt with in the last message on the radio broadcast, providing regular meals. We talked about that in depth. But we want to go a little further today and think about this thing of not only physical needs being met by providing regular meals. You need to maintain an orderly and a clean house. I'm not talking about a house that's so clean you can't even live in it, but who wants to live in a pigsty? You see, and you need to be taught. Moms need to teach their kids to cook, to vacuum, and to take care of the house, clean the house. And in other words, you don't have to go to extremes. You don't have to be picky. Just orderly and clean. That's your responsibility. That's your obligation, wife, to your husband to meet those physical needs. And then you need to provide a support system that allows the husband to carry on his responsibility outside the home. In other words, as we think about what support systems are, well, you need to keep his clothes clean for his job. You need to have his lunch ready if he needs lunch to carry lunch. And let him know you're there for him. And then there's emotional needs, not only physical needs, but wives' emotional needs the husbands have. Most men don't want to admit that they have an emotional need, but these needs are far greater than the physical needs. You see, most men want their wives' approval more than anyone else. And an emotional need is the husband needs companionship. I know the wife needs that. We talked about that, but the husband needs that as well. That's why God created you. He gave you an opportunity to fill that vacuum, that completer that he talked about in Genesis 2:18. You need to share your husband's life goals. You need to learn to be interested in those life goals. Girls, don't go with a boy if you can't share his life's goals. Don't think you'll don't trick him now and lie to him and think to yourself, I'll remake him. No, you need to share your husband's life's goals. You need to share your husband's joys and defeat. You see, a defeat sometimes too humiliating to tell others. And you should be determined to be there when needed. Not just the physical, but emotional I'm talking about. Develop an interest in your husband's intellectual and social pursuits. Now, we're in a mess today because husbands have not met their responsibility. And therefore, wives don't fulfill the needs of the husband emotionally and physically in that sense. You also need to orally demonstrate approval of your husband. If he's done a good job, you can say, honey, you've done a good job at that. Brag on him, in other words, and say, I appreciate you. Encourage him. I've got confidence in you. And you need to tell each other often, I love you. and be willing to ask for forgiveness. You need to do that. And you need to show that love. In other words, there ought not to be a day go by that you don't tell your wife or husband that you love each other. I heard about a couple one time who was just about on the verge of divorce. And the wife said, "Well, my husband don't love me. He's not, don't tell me he loves me." And so they begin to question the husband, and they said, "Why don't you tell her you love me?" Said, "I told her 20 years ago, 30 years ago, however long it was, and said I told her if I'd ever changed, I'd tell her, and I still love her because I told her 30 years ago." Well, you need to tell her every day. Also, you need to meet his needs emotionally by striving for consistent harmony in the home. Husbands need to do that, but so does the wife. Avoid nagging. Don't seek to remake your husband into the image of an ideal man. Probably your idea of an ideal man wouldn't be scriptural anyway, because it might come from the TV on some of these soap operas, if you please. You see, God made your husband an individual, and you're a helpmeet. You're a completer, and you can help make him like Christ wants him to be. So you need to do that. You need to, and then there's a moral obligation that wives have as far as their husbands is concerned, and that is to be to have a moral obligation to engage in a program of spiritual beautification. Now, most marriages start out by looking at the skin, at the outside, if you please. And some say, "Well, beauty is skin deep," and others said, "Well, skin or not have her." But that's not the way it ought to be. Wives, you need to do what the Bible says as far as engage in a program of spiritual beautification. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, he tells these women here how that women should deal really to reach your lost husband. And it's good for anybody. I mean, it's guidelines that God laid down. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of a gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price." And so let your conversation, let your manner of living be that would be such that you'd have chaste conversation, manner of living, coupled with fear, and have the adorning on the inside. In other words, it's talking about the hidden man of the heart. And now, you realize something. Some people could gag at a gnat and swallow a camel in this area, but you need to realize God wants you you've got a moral obligation to engage in a program of spiritual beautification. Inner beauty and spiritual maturity are far more important than to a marriage than physical beauty. In other words, this beauty, inner beauty, is the most important to God and to your husband. In other words, God said in essence in these verses that this beauty will help you win your husband. Now, that doesn't negate the fact of the wife seeking to please her husband by being physically attractive for him. Well, you used to dress for him and now for them. Others, in other words. In other words, he used to do the same for you. For instance, he says, "Let's go so-and-so, go somewhere." You'll say, "Like this." In other words, and many may wear shorts and halters and short shorts when they go out in public. And what they do, they're showing their skin and they're trying to really attract the opposite sex. And skin that shines attracts the opposite sex. And then when they get home, they pull the shades down, put on the house coat from the chin down to the floor, and then wonder why their home's in trouble. You see, when you spent time courting, you'd be used to spend time for each other and preparing for one another. And then you wonder why there's a problem in the homes today. Well, it don't hurt to be physically attractive for your husband, but don't overdo it. Beauty's vain, the Bible said in Proverbs 31, verse number 30. In other words, some today have overdone it. Somebody said that recently they took the makeup off of Tammy Faye and found Jimmy Hoffa. Well, that's overdone. You see, it's the hidden man of the heart that is of great price. If you will spend as much time trying to keep your spouse in love with you as you did to try to get him to love you, then everything would be different in our homes. We'd have better homes. You'd have honey in a home. And what we need to do is to meet our moral and mutual obligation. Now, there's also the obligation husbands have to wives and wives have to husbands, to each other, and that's a money obligation. You see, the reason that most homes are broken today is really a money matter. In other words, and so money matters. We see that over in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, verse number 19, and this is the preacher, this is Solomon, as he's talking like man would say, and he said, money answers all things. But that's not so. You see, that's what man says, but the Lord doesn't say that. In other words, the Lord's the only one who can answer all problems. Money problem, those are probably the number one problem in home breakage. And that's why many children grow up today getting what they want when they want it. In other words, and the worst injustice you can do when they get married, the husband or the wife can't provide that. You see, girls grow up to have all the clothes she wants, and when styles change, she gets a new wardrobe, and a lot of boys have all the toys they want before they're married. I'm not talking about pocket toys, but I'm talking about four-wheelers and four-wheel drive trucks and Trans Ams and whatnot. And then you see they burn rubber when they go out of school in this day and time, and the dad's going to buy them more, and they get in trouble with the law. Dad will fix it, and you see they've got money to blow on dates, and they don't have to work. Many are like that today. Then they get married, and that's a day of reckoning comes. The rent's due, the car payment's due, really two car payments most of the time, new clothes for the wife to keep her happy, a baby comes along, hospital bills, groceries, electric bills, water bills, gas bills, bills, and more bills. And the home's already on the rocks, and before you know it, the credit card's maxed out. I don't believe there's anything wrong with credit cards if you use them right, but if you can't, you need to cut them off. You see, and all the job you can get sometimes is a $6 an hour job or maybe less than that with no benefits. But thank God for a job. You need to take it. Take the handful, as Ruth did, and she got the whole granary in the book of Ruth. If you're not willing to take a minimum wage job, you're not going to ever amount to anything. But still, what happens, that's the only thing you can do. And then Friday check comes around. You just don't have enough to go around until next Friday and the check comes in. And the problem is the home's at the point of breaking before it's even started good. You can't cook. You don't work. And that's the problem today. A money problem. Problem today when we get married. Think we ought to start out where mom and dad are after 30 years of marriage, and maybe a new house, new cars, new furniture. Most of us are not there after 40 years of time. But it just don't work that way. So therefore, money does matter. Money problems is a problem, and mutual obligation. There's a money obligation in our homes as far as husband and wife is concerned. This is Edgar Lee Pascoe, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.